Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Friday to you. Hope you've got some fun weekend plans ahead of you. Well, for many, the Christian life looks like this. I call out to God, my problems get worse, I suffer and I wait, nothing changes. Does your life ever feel like that? Well, John Dickerson joins me today to share how we can find God's peace and strength in life's darkest moments, how we can not lose hope and keep the faith. Before we get to that conversation, got a few announcements for you. We've got this Faith Radio app. You maybe hear me talk about it once in a while. Why? Because it's that great, and it's free. Go to the Apple App Store or Google Play, and you'll find it there, and you can live stream our shows from anywhere. You can catch podcasts after the fact. Check it out, Apple App Store or on Google Play. It's worth it. Also, Max Lucado, one of our great favorites, he's got a book releasing in September, and do you know you can win that book here before you can buy it on the shelf at the store? Title of his book is Anxious for Nothing. I mean, talk about a timely topic. Who doesn't struggle with anxiety at times, right? Well, we're giving away three copies a day for this month, so you can win it here before you can buy it from the store. So all you got to do is hop on our website and sign up at myfaithradio.com. On the homepage, landing page, you'll see it right there. Sign up to win, and I sure hope you do. A couple more quick announcements. We are growing at Faith Radio thanks to the Lord and thanks to your gift and generous support. So I just want to give a shout out, if I can, to friends listening on one of our new signals. Perhaps you're listening from 94.1 FM in Hartford or 93.1 FM in Waterloo. Maybe 104.7 FM in Madison, or one of our two signals in the Twin Cities area, 90.7 FM, 97.5, or maybe you're streaming online. No matter where you're listening from, we want to know about it. So if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Let me know where you're listening from, and we'll put your name in a drawing to send you some fun books off of our Faith Radio shelf. Well, my guest today writes this. Listen in. I want you to lean in and listen. This is what he says. God wants you to know that his hope is real. He does have good plans for you. He even has plans to turn your hurts and weaknesses into something good, impossible as it seems. God is reaching out to you today to give you real and meaningful hope that makes sense in the grit of your struggles and hurts. So, if you need a fresh word of encouragement and perspective today, I'm thinking you came to the right place. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. John Dickerson is a prize-winning journalist, a recognized voice in American Christianity, and best-selling author of the books The Great Evangelical Recession and I Am Strong, Finding God's Peace and Strength in Life's Darkest Moments. We'll be talking about this one today. As a pastor, John has guided individuals and communities through grief and loss. He presently serves as a teaching pastor in residence at Venture Christian Church. And that's with Pastor Chip Ingram, whom we love as well. And he lives there in Los Gatos, California, with his wife and children. We're honored to have him with us today. Pastor John, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Susie. It's great to be with you.
Looking forward to the conversation. And because we love the Word of God here on Live the Promise, John, we love to just start every single conversation talking about the Word of God. So whether you have a life verse or just one you've been pondering these days, wondering if you've got a verse you can share with us today.
Oh, I'd love to. You know, here's one I just came across in my devotions yesterday. It's in Romans 15, and it's talking about our weaknesses. And it says, and I thought this would be great, because whoever's listening, wherever there's weakness or pain or suffering in your life, just listen to this from Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I just love that verse. May God fill you with hope and with joy and with peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That verse is a great summary of what we'll be talking about today, actually, that, you know, this world's broken by sin. And very often, whether it's physical sickness or other pain, difficulty does come into our lives. And it doesn't have to shake our faith, because Jesus told us, in this world you will have trouble. But we can hope in God in the midst of our pain, and the Holy Spirit is waiting to empower us. And as we do, we're able to have a joy and a peace that rise above our circumstances.
Boy, that's so good. This is exactly why we ask for this very question. And as you're talking, John, I'm just such a visual person, but I'm picturing as you take the path of trust, you will come into new and deepening measures of hope, because then eventually you overflow with hope. But to the degree that we trust Him when we know that otherworldly hope, it's kind of amazing, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. You know, one of my best friends is a pilot, and he once took me up in a small airplane, and we got up, and we got into turbulence. I mean, I'm looking out the window, and it's like the wings are shaking. The whole plane is shaking. My heart's racing. I'm thinking, are we going to crash? Are we going to die? And he said, hang in there. We just have to get above the storm. You know, you fly straight into the turbulence, and you get above the storm. And I remember when we broke out of those clouds, all of a sudden it was like a giant sunrise.
Wow.
We got up above the storm, and then it was calm and still. And speaking of visualizations, that's what I think of with hoping in God in the midst of our storms. God does not promise that He'll always still the storm in this life, in this fallen world, but He does promise to carry us up above the storm as we choose to trust in Him. And we're able to have that peace and that joy, even in the midst of the suffering. And Paul writes about that over and over, that despite the circumstances, there's this supernatural joy. And that's really my prayer for everyone who's listening right now, whether you're driving in a car, laying in a hospital bed, sitting in your living room, working in your kitchen, that wherever there's pain in your life, that God would speak to you in this time together and lift you up above those circumstances with a supernatural peace and joy.
Boy, that's such a good word, John. Just the other day I tweeted about how though he doesn't promise to always deliver us from the storm, oftentimes we have to go through the storm, he does promise to provide a way out with temptation. So, you know, we may have to walk through the storm, we may have to walk through the valley, but with temptation, He provides a way out so we can stand up under it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when we're in a place of temptation, there's a way out. And just connecting that to the storm, I think at times when the storms hit, there's a temptation to despair, to lose courage, to lose heart. But that has really helped me, because I thought there's going to be temptations, and I've felt those temptations. And yet when I think of that promise, it's like even in this place, there's a way out from under this temptation so I can find hope and peace and courage even in the storm. I'd love for you to speak to that if you would.
Oh, I would be honored to. And, you know, you mentioned this book that God led me to write. It's called I Am Strong. And the reason for that title, by the way, it comes from the Apostle Paul. He had what he called a thorn in the flesh. And Paul's thorn in the flesh was a chronic illness as well as a spiritual suffering. He says that it was a messenger of Satan sent to torment me. So as you're listening today, where there's suffering in your life, and maybe it's emotional, maybe you feel like it's a spiritual oppression, or maybe it's a physical chronic illness, you need to know that one of God's choice servants, Paul the Apostle, he had a thorn in the flesh like that for his whole life. And so, you know, it's a lie from Satan that these things are happening in your life because God doesn't love you or because God is down on you. When we actually look at Scripture, very often God's favorite people, His choice servants, go through suffering. And the beauty of redemption is that God's able to work it for good. And the beauty of redemption is that when we are weak, Paul wrote when he talked about his thorn in the flesh, when I am weak, then I am strong. So that's why we've titled this book, I Am Strong. The idea is not that we in and of ourselves are strong. The idea is that our thorns in the flesh, whatever they may be, cancer, the loss of a loved one, a broken relationship, bankruptcy, whatever your thorn in the flesh may be, just like Paul the Apostle, he said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And I kind of set out, because of some physical issues in my life and some health issues, to really find out, is that actually true? Can I actually find God's strength in my weakness and through my weakness? And so I studied that from Genesis to Revelation, and I'm pleased to report that you can. You
Amen.
Can find God's strength in your weakness. And so, you know, we have these multiple layers of promises. We do have the promise that the suffering will end eventually. That's when we leave this broken world. Christ is either going to return for us, or our bodies will wear out and we'll wake up in heaven in a glorified body. So we know that no matter how bad it gets, it will end. We also know that He's with us in the suffering. And like you said, He'll always provide a way of escape so that we can continue to believe in him and trust in him. And Susie, I'm just thrilled to get to share these hopes with you and your listeners.
Well, I'm thrilled too, and I love that your publisher supplied us with 5 copies of John's book, I Am Strong. This, to me, you avoid cliches, platitudes, you go to the depths, and this is a great, great work on why suffering, how we can find our footing in suffering, how we cannot lose heart in our suffering. So I just want to invite you to email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And if it's okay with you, John, as you write about it in the book, you write about how at this ripe old age of 27, you experienced symptoms that initially pointed to a stroke. In fact, you were going up to preach, if I remember right. Would you mind telling us a bit about that story?
Yeah, so, you know, I had actually just recently, at the time that this happened, this was the first of many episodes in a medical condition that I have, but I had just left my journalism career, and I was serving as a senior pastor, and the church was growing, and I was walking up to preach and started to experience some problems with my vision and some numbness on one side. I tried to go ahead and preach anyway. And I even had, you know, prayed with the elders of the church, God, please heal me. I want to serve you today. And, you know, was really sure, boy, God's going to heal me, of course, because he wants his word preached. And got up there, and little did I know, I was slurring my speech. And as the sermon went on, the things coming out of my mouth were not even intelligible or understandable. Eventually, I got escorted off the stage and taken to the ER, had all the symptoms of a stroke. And it was the one of the most severe in this condition I have. It's called a hemiplegic episode. So they're unpredictable of when I'll have them. When they start, they're unstoppable. I usually have to go to the hospital. And, yeah, it's all the symptoms of a stroke. And at a young age, having that, and then as they started to become more frequent, and there's quite a bit of pain as well when I'm going through those symptoms. And then for me, a turning point was a day when I was talking with my neurologist, and I said, you know, these are so much like a stroke. Sometimes after the whole thing finishes, my brain just feels hazy. I feel mentally slow for a day or sometimes for 2 or 3 weeks if it's a really bad episode. I said, you know, I'm in the prime of my life. As I get older, could one of these turn into an actual stroke? And he said, yeah, John, there is that chance. And so I found myself dealing with not only the physical pain and limitations of the medical condition, but also the anxiety of an uncertain future, especially as a dad with young kids and a breadwinner and a husband, and thinking, man, God, what if I get one of these what if one of these turns into a stroke? What I do for a living, I was a professional writer before I became a pastor. If I can't think and speak, I'm not going to be able to provide for my wife and kids. And when I go through the episode, when my speech is slurring, there, you know, there's a time in the episode when it's kind of like I'm locked in my body and I can't talk to people outside and half my body's numb. And the thought of, man, becoming a prisoner in that state and living for years and years in that condition brought great anxiety. And so that's when I started studying Paul's thorn in the flesh and trying to look, okay, Paul says when I'm weak, then I'm strong. This is either not true, or I believe it's true because I believe God's word is true. I need to figure out how to actually live this out.
Wow, John.
So that's what the book I Am Strong
is. Absolutely amazing. When we come back, I want to just learn from you what you learned about Paul's thorn and how that applies to us. Talking to author Pastor John Dickerson, again, he's written an amazing book. And on the title, if you could see it in shading kind of shadow font, I'm hurting, I'm confused, I'm angry, scared, alone, doubting. But then the real title says, I am strong. When we are weak, he is strong. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More great conversation when we return. Hope you're having a great day. Really glad you're listening today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author and pastor John Dickerson, who's written an amazing book titled I Am Strong, Finding God's Peace and Strength in Life's Darkest Moments. It's like as a friend, he walks you through these valleys and helps you find your footing. Before the break, John, you were telling your amazing story. When you were 27 years old and you're getting up to preach, you start to experience symptoms very similar to a stroke. You find out you have this rare condition, and now all these years later, you still have episodes, if I understand it right, 2 to 3 times a year. Is that right?
Yeah, it varies. You know, some years I'll have six or seven in a year, and some years I'll have fewer. So in all of it, yeah, it's driven me to drive down through those kind of light cliches that we say.
Yeah.
and to actually find answers that make sense within the suffering. And, you know, one of the things I've found as I've visited others in the hospital and just as a pastor is there's sort of this American Christian myth. I call it the myth of problem-free Christianity. It's very popular in the American church right now. And it's this idea that if you have enough faith, you'll never suffer. If you have enough faith, you'll never get sick. And it's just obviously not true. I mean, if having enough faith meant you'd never get sick, then we would have Christians from the Church of Rome or the Church of Galatia, who are 1,900 years old in our churches today, you know, that it's like, well, you know, here's Lydia. She's 1,984 years old. She's just never died because she has so much faith. It's clear that no matter how much faith you have, your body's still going to break down in this world because of sin. And so what we do in the book, I Am Strong, is one, you need to know as you're listening to this, if you know someone who has cancer or who's lost a loved one, you can get this book, I Am Strong, for them as a gift. This book is written to be given as a gift. And even if they're not yet a Christian, the first third of the book especially is really written just to meet a person in their suffering. But then as the book goes on, it's kind of like when you wade into the ocean and it's shallow and just slowly gets deeper and deeper. The final two-thirds of the book gets really deep because we're going to talk about if God is good, why is there pain and suffering at all? And that takes us all the way back to Genesis. It's really interesting that God starts the Bible of, you know, the Bible's his love letter to you. And of all the places he could start it, right at the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, he lets us know the world we live in is not the way it's supposed to be. Your body is broken by sin. Your relationships are broken by sin. Even the weather patterns are broken by sin. And the moment we trust in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, our soul gets adopted into the family of God. But we live out our days on this earth, and we're not yet home. So we're already adopted, but we're not yet home. And part of growing in our Christianity through our trials is learning some of these nuances of Scripture. I'm God's adopted son or daughter. My inheritance is sure. My identity is sure. My future body, which will never feel pain, all that is guaranteed because Christ rose from the dead. But I have not yet taken hold of that inheritance. When I was in college, I met a college student who was, you know, 17, 18, like the rest of us. He was an inheritor of a $25 million fortune, but he wouldn't get that fortune until he turned 25. So he was eating ramen noodles and living a poor college lifestyle like the rest of us, but he knew that everything was going to change for him when he turned 25. And I just think that's such a great, simple picture of our journey through this world. We have an inheritance and a kingdom and a body that will never feel pain waiting for us, but we're not there yet. And Jesus said, in this world we will have trouble. And Paul actually talks in Romans chapter 8 about us joining in the sufferings of Christ so that we can then share in his glory in the future. And as we get deeper into Scripture, we just start to realize this is part of it. It's the pain is severe and it's real, but it's temporary. If you have placed your faith in Christ, it is temporary. Your suffering will end. No matter how unbearable it becomes, it will end. And the future glory will actually eclipse the present suffering.
Which is an amazing promise that we could spend a year on and still never plumb the depths of it, you know. And when you think about the message that everything's supposed to tie up in a nice bow on earth, what that does to discourage Christians, first of all, it discourages the sufferer, but it also distances the person who's not suffering from the sufferer because they think, well, you must have missed a step, you know. And that to me just puts a bomb right in the middle of community where we're supposed to, the strong are supposed to help the weak. But also, if we really don't have our eyes on eternity, the ones who are suffering, we lose sight of this future glory. And I think the enemy can win the day with our anxieties and our fears. I mean, I'm thinking for you, John, that, you know, when you asked the question before the break, you asked the doctor, well, these are so much like stroke episodes that could one happen and have a stroke of permanent effect? And he said, well, that could happen. How do you not live in fear? I mean, I know you're a man of the word. How do you not live each day kind of borrowing tomorrow's trouble?
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you a story to answer that question, and then I'll answer it in specific words. So when my wife gave birth to our first child, she wanted to do it without any epidural or pain medication. And
whoa.
I know there's a lot of listening to you right, a lot of people listening right now, and you, Susie, you guys know what childbirth feels like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've witnessed it. I haven't felt it. It is unbearable suffering. It is excruciating. And, you know, it's beautiful that in God's Word, God actually says that we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we await the completion of our adoption. And then Paul actually likens it to the pains of childbirth in Romans 8, verses 18 through 25. And the idea is the pains of childbirth are so severe, but they make the joy of a child. Well, here's what I remember. After my wife gave birth to our firstborn, she said, I'm never going to do that again. And then about 2 years later, she said, I think I'm ready for another one. And I remember thinking, why would a smart, sophisticated, educated woman who knows what that pain is, why would she willingly invite it again? And the answer is very simple. The lifelong joy of a child far eclipses the temporary suffering. So the suffering is real, but the lifelong joy eclipses it. And in the same way, God says that our eternal glory, Paul puts it this way, I consider that our present sufferings, plural, so all my sufferings, all the sufferings of everyone listening right now, if we add all of them up, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's Romans 8, verse 18. And here's the idea. God does not demean your present sufferings. It's not unspiritual to cry. It's not unspiritual to hurt. It's not even unspiritual to question. But all our present sufferings added up, they will be eclipsed by the future glory that is coming for us. So to answer your question, Susie, you said, you know, John, you live with a daily awareness that you could have one of these episodes, it could turn into a stroke, and I could spend the rest of my life in kind of a vegetable state. And yes, that used to bring me great anxiety and fear. It still does some days. Here's what completely took the power out of the anxiety, pulled the rug out from under the anxiety. And listen close to this if you're listening. Because
and I want to tell you, John, we have literally 40 seconds and I'm hanging on every word. So do I need to wait to the other side for this? Because I want to give you full time. Can we?
Let's wait for the other side.
Because I'm like holding my breath going. So I'm sure you're as excited as I am to hear what John's going to say next, because this will be a tool for us to navigate. The enemy uses anxiety and fears and the what ifs. But what if we could find peace and joy in the now and enjoy the journey now, the grace that God gives us for the now? Talking to author Pastor John Dickerson, what a gracious, wonderful man. He's written an amazing book, I Am Strong, and thanks to his very generous publisher, Zondervan, we've got 5 copies. I'm praying they get to exactly the right people. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address. If you've got a question for John, you can include that as well. And we will be back in a minute. To think about this, when Paul was in prison, even in that place, as we read about in Philippians, God's purposes moved forward. Other people were encouraged in their faith because of Paul's chains. Even people got jealous of Paul, who was in prison. Imagine stewarding your trial, your suffering, your hardship to such a degree that God's purposes moved forward, that people were encouraged in their own faith journey, and even you excited the jealousies of others because of the way that you're standing in your trial. Wow, think about it. What an amazing thought. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author and Pastor John Dickerson about his amazing book, I Am Strong, Finding God's Peace and Strength in Life's Darkest Moments. We have 5 copies to get into your hands. Enter the drawing this way. Just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and don't forget your mailing address. Okay, now I'm ready. So, John, before the break, and for those who, a lot of people hop in their car at the bottom of the hour and they're driving and they don't know your story, so if I could just say real quick, John is an author and pastor. in his late 20s, he had a stroke-like episode, which revealed a condition that he has these sometimes six times a year where they're stroke-like episodes, and then he recovers from them. But the doctor had said, you know, as he gets older, it could happen where he would have an actual stroke and suffer from the effects of it. I asked you, John, how do you not deal with anxiety, fear, or how do you deal with it, I should say, and not live in that place? What say you?
So, to answer, obviously this whole book, I Am Strong, 220-some pages. So as you're listening, whether your suffering is present, sometimes your suffering is in the past and it's still with you, or sometimes it's something in the future that's bringing anxiety. The 220-some pages in this book will do a lot more than I can do in a few seconds. But let me tell you this. I want to tell you how to pull the rug out from under your anxiety, okay? Let's say you're listening right now. You have anxiety. You have some test results that are coming back from the doctor, or you have an estranged child, or you have a difficult conversation at work. There's something in your future that is bringing you anxiety, or maybe it's that you already have the chronic health condition and you don't know as it gets worse what that is going to look like. I want to tell you how to pull the rug out from under your anxiety. And this was the key for me. And it comes from Scripture, because Paul the Apostle, remember, he had his thorn in the flesh. He's loving God. He's seeking first the kingdom of God. But he has a daily chronic illness, not because God's mad at him, not because he's unspiritual, but actually because God has great plans for him. Satan has given him this illness. He calls it a messenger of Satan sent to destroy me. Over and over again, Paul's hopes, he has a bunch of them. One, it will end. Two, in the future, what's waiting for me is so much better that it's worth going through this. Three, God will sustain me in it. Four, God will redeem it and actually use it for good. And it's because of Paul's thorn in the flesh that we have most of the Christian New Testament. And God will repurpose your thorn in the flesh as you surrender it to him. So how do you pull the rug out from under anxiety based on that future view? You know, Paul writes in Romans 8, he says, the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth. And essentially he's saying, the creation is groaning like a woman giving birth to a child, unbearable suffering, waiting for Christ to return. And he says in Romans 8:23, not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit living in you as a Christian, the Counselor, the Comforter. You groan inwardly as you eagerly await your adoption, the redemption of your bodies. And the point is, the hope, the greatest hope is a future hope. The greatest hope is not healing in this world or better circumstances in this world. Now, we can pray for those things, and we should ask our Heavenly Father for a healing, for a restored relationship, etc. But that's a low-level hope. And some Christians live their whole life on earth, and they never get past that low-level hope of just praying for their circumstances. Now, God cares about your circumstances, but he loves you a lot more than to just leave you. Remember, Paul describes our bodies as a tent that is breaking down. So if you imagine living outside in a tent through all the seasons of the year, and over time, you know, the snow and the sun, that fabric on the tent starts wearing out, and you can patch it with duct tape. But Paul says essentially our bodies, because they're broken by sin, are tents, and they're wearing out. But God has a glorified body waiting for you, 2 Corinthians 5, not built by human hands, but a tabernacle built by God. In other words, that's a body that's never going to get sick, never going to get cancer, in a place where there will never be divorce, never be broken relationships. And here's the thing, God loves you too much to just keep patching your tent. He loves you so much that he's eventually going to deliver you out of your tent and into a house not built with human hands, but, you know, picture yourself just a beautiful 3,500-square-foot custom home. That's what he's got for you instead of a tent. And that's a future hope and the greatest hope all throughout the New Testament, really all throughout Scripture, Hebrews 11, all the heroes of faith, is this future hope, a coming kingdom. So with all of that groundwork laid, how do you pull the rug out from under your anxiety? Here's the most practical thing that has helped me with my stroke-like episodes and the anxiety of what if I get stuck in the condition of a stroke and I can't talk and half my body is paralyzed and I can't provide for my family. Here's what pulls the rug out from under anxiety. Even if it doesn't get better, it will end. Okay, even if it doesn't get better, it will end. My hope is not in the present. My hope is in the future. And now graduate this to the next level. Even in the worst-case scenario, it will end. Here's how anxiety gets us. Anxiety is fear of the worst case scenario. So in my case, anxiety, what does it look like? What does the monster look like of anxiety? For me, it's, okay, I have one of these stroke-like things. And instead of it ending after 24 hours and my brain being hazy for a few weeks, I'm stuck in there. And I can't talk and I can't write. And I go from being a professional writer and speaker to not even being able to speak. I can't provide for my family. I can't hold my kids. I can't talk. Okay, that's the worst case scenario. But what is it really? Let's zoom out. You know, I'm 34 now. Worst case scenario, I would be stuck in that condition for 40, 50 years. And then I'm in all of eternity in a glorified body that will never experience pain or suffering, and just the ecstasy and the joy of God's presence overwhelming me. And so here's what I have found takes the air out and pulls the rug out from under my worst case anxiety. It's, okay, let's say the worst case scenario does happen. Let's say the divorce does happen. Let's say, and obviously we pray that it doesn't, but here's the thing, even if it does, you have a hope that far eclipses that worst case scenario. You have a hope that says, even if the worst case happens, it will be temporary, it will be repurposed for good, and the future glory will far eclipse the present suffering. So for me, when I'm in those episodes with my medical condition, that's what I cling to. Hey, this will end. Whether it ends in 40 minutes or in 40 years, it's going to end. And what I believe, what faith tells me, and what I cling to is that what's waiting for me in the presence of Christ is so much better that it's worth going through this.
Boy, so powerful. That was worth the price of admission. And there was no price of admission. So there. But that was amazing. Thank you so much for that, John. And you write this too. You said, some smiling Christians quote the words, God's power is made perfect in weakness, as if we instantly arrive at God's power without any struggle. Here again, I think that's got to be a very freeing statement for some, because when you're in the furnace of affliction, it's not well choreographed. I mean, there's just times of meltdowns and breakdowns. But God is with us in that even, and we still can come through the fire without smelling like smoke, even if we don't make it look pretty, right?
Amen. You know, I just love it in the Gospels. As Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we know Jesus was without sin. I mean, he's perfectly God, 100% without sin. But when he's agonizing before he goes to the cross, he literally falls to the ground. He's so overtaken with emotion. He's weeping. And he tells his disciples, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. That's a quote. And so here's the thing. If your soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, it's not unspiritual. Jesus has been there, and it's not sinful to be overwhelmed with sorrow even to the point of death. What it is it's an opportunity. Every time we have pain in our lives, we have a very simple choice. We either turn away from God because of the pain, or we turn to God with the pain. And Jesus modeled for us perfectly that in the suffering, when you're overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, you can turn to God with your pain. And that this book, I Am Strong, that's ultimately what this is. It's through the written word, a friend coming and putting an arm around you and saying, the pain is real. It's not unspiritual to feel it. It's not unspiritual to weep or to fear, to have anxiety. But together, let's turn toward God with this pain.
Boy, it's so good. And you do write like a friend, John. And, you know, just to be clear, and I know you would agree with this as well, we're not at all saying, you know, God sends any of this. He doesn't send cancer. He doesn't send panic attacks, but he will redeem everything because he is God and he can do that. But what is interesting, John, is every which way I turn, I have some chronic health issues myself. That's why I resonated so much with your book. But every which way I turn, I know people and see people who are walking through some kind of furnace of affliction. And what I feel like God is using, and you think of the passage, and I can't reference it right now, but it's something to the degree that things are being shaken, so that which cannot be shaken can be clearly seen. And what's amazing to me is things are being shaken in our, you know, in our politics, in our economy, in the world, in morality, every which way. So many people feel like they're isolated, feel like they're in the furnace of affliction alone. But what they're reckoning with in God's word there, they're coming out of it with authority and a credibility. And I feel like in this world, John, as so much is being shaken, Christians are emerging out of these places going, I once thought I knew him. I know him. And this is what I know to be true. And I don't know, again, not that God caused it, but he's using it to prepare his saints to be able to speak into the crises that are, I think, coming for the many who don't know him, you know?
Oh, that is exactly right. You know, and one of the gifts of sickness, you know, and in the book we talk about the gift of prison. And again, it's not that God sends it. It's a result of evil and Satan. Satan's the one who came into the world to kill and steal and destroy. And so, by the way, this lie that God is sending the suffering into your life, I believe that's a satanic lie.
Yeah.
Satan's the one who kills and steals and destroys. God is the one who creates life and who redeems what Satan has destroyed. And so you remind yourself that God's going to redeem it. But absolutely, it's when when there's money in the bank and we're perfectly healthy and the grass is green and everything's great, even though we've trusted in Christ and we have eternal salvation that is secure in Christ, we can very easily be placing our practical hope in the stock market and in our health, et cetera. And the reason pain is a gift is that it gives us the opportunity to actually place our hope, like you said, on what is unshakable, on the solid rock. And exactly as you've said, I mean, this world – Matthew 25 and so many other passages, things will get worse before they get better, before Christ returns. And whether it's in national politics or the economy or just our neighbors eventually getting cancer and dying or getting success and realizing how empty it is or getting a divorce, their lives will be shaken. And those of us, I mean, remember, Jesus was called the man of sorrows. He's well acquainted with suffering. And as we follow him, we are Christ followers, we also get to experience sorrow so that we can then minister to our neighbors and say, I've felt some of the things you feel, and let me tell you the solid rock that I've found that I can build my life on. I'd love to share it with you. And God uses it.
He so does. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, John, I'd love for you to talk about the man you think you might have been, if not for your suffering. You know, I just want you to think about that during this short break, about what this has forged in you, how you think you're probably different because of what you've had to reckon with the promises of God in the face of your suffering. Talking to author, Pastor John Dickerson, title of his book, I Am Strong. Love seeing these emails come in. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember that mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Really great song, and it's a great thing to remember that we serve the King of the world, and one day when he returns, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, and he will be so grateful to point out us as his trophies of grace. He's coming for us. He's going to make all things new. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to John Dickerson. He pastors alongside Chip Ingram, and John has written a book titled I Am Strong, Finding God's Peace and Strength in Life's Darkest Moments. So the question I pitched before the break, John, given this health challenge that you've had, and if you just tuned in, you got to go back and listen to this show. It's been absolutely powerful. When you look at what you've had to reckon with in Scripture and just an uncertain future at times, how has it changed you? And how do you think you probably would have been had this thing not been part of your story?
Yeah, it's such a great question, Susie. And I was thinking about during the break, there's so many positive things. As this book, I Am Strong, develops, it starts by meeting you where you are in your pain. And again, if not for yourself, think about getting a copy of this book, I Am Strong, for someone you know who's going through suffering, because then it's going to explain if God is good, why is there even pain? And it uses a lot of stories to explain how the world's broken by sin, how God then came into the world in the person of Jesus to redeem what's broken and ultimately to deliver us out. And then as the hopes go deeper and deeper, we talk about being in our Gethsemane, then it graduates to, at the end of the book, this idea of pain and purpose. And the idea is this: your greatest accomplishment in life may be your greatest pain surrendered. And I'll just say that again. The greatest thing you accomplish in your life, it may result from your greatest pain that right now you think is just unbearable, surrendered. And it's definitely true with childbirth, right? Childbirth is one of the greatest pains. It's also one of the greatest contributions and accomplishments in life, actually creating another human being and giving birth. And it's true of our suffering as well. And Susie, to answer your question, how am I a better person or more useful in God's hands because of this thorn in the flesh? Well, I've got a whole list of things. One of them is a sense of humility, and that doesn't sound like the right word, but here's what I'll say. You know, God has allowed some of my books to be national bestsellers. He sometimes allows me to write at New York Times or USA Today or speak on pretty big stages, and sometimes people say, John, how do you stay humble when God's doing those things for you? Well, here's the thing. Because of my health condition, I know any day I could wake up and not be able to talk. And a few times a year I get reminded at any time I can be put in that place where I can't even say, help me and take me to the hospital. I can't even get those words out when I'm in one of my hemiplegic episodes. And so there's a sense of humility that's not because of anything good in my character, but it's just real life. I mean, at any day I could lose my ability to do any radio interview or speak anywhere or write any book. And so so that's one. There's a genuine empathy. You know, when you really know what suffering is, then when you meet someone who has cancer or a chronic illness or even an emotional pain of a broken relationship, you're able to go there with them because you know not exactly how they feel, but you know what suffering feels like, and so you're less likely to just give a glib, cliche answer. It also gives perspective and urgency. You know, when you have a health condition that makes you face death or the thought of, I may only have a few years left to kind of do my life work and what I was put on earth to do, it creates an urgency. And from that really came this book, you know, actually, because a lot of my other books are more research-based because I used to be a journalist. But I wrote this book because my condition had really flared up to a point that I remember sitting down at my desk and thinking, I may only ever get to write one more book. And if I can only write one more book, what will it be? And it was this: people've got to know that you can find God in your suffering and he can work it for good. And by God's grace, he's using this book, and now I'm about to finish up another one. So he's allowing me. Yeah, I'm very, very thankful for that. But those are just a few things that, you know, I would probably be a lot – I'm not very close to perfect as I am, but I would be a lot less sensitive. I would probably be a lot more confident in myself instead of God. I would probably not have the same perspective and urgency if not for my thorn in the flesh.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing that. And I just got to ask on a side note, how does your wife navigate her own fears and anxieties around your diagnosis and health issues?
That's a really good question. And, you know, thankfully my wife and I have very different personalities. So she's not as much of a future worrier. She's more of a live in the moment type, which is a really good balance for me. And, you know, she's just kind of learned if I start to have one of my things, you know, to have someone come over to watch the kids and get me over to the hospital. And thankfully, by God's grace, lately I haven't been having nearly as many as I used to have. And others with chronic health conditions know how that goes. You kind of have times where it really flares up and times where you're blessed with some additional health, and you pray to use those days really well.
Wow, amazing. You wrote this in your book, God's strength plus my weakness is better than my strength plus no weakness. I want you to picture this as a math equation. God's strength plus my weakness is greater than or better than my strength plus no weakness. Unpack that one if you would.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's really what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians when he talks about his thorn in the flesh. That's essentially what he says. God tells Paul. Now remember, Paul prays three times that his thorn in the flesh will be removed. And then he gets this direct word from God himself, my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, God's power plus my weakness will be a more powerful life than my power without weakness. And the reason that math equation is important is that usually when we're going through weakness or suffering or pain, we are constantly praying for the pain to be removed. And that's okay. Paul prayed for that three times. Jesus also prayed three times that he wouldn't have to go through the suffering of the cross. But they both reached a point of surrender where they said, okay, God, your power plus my pain is a better life, a more powerful and meaningful life in eternity than my power without any suffering. So that's a little hard to understand, but the reality is your life, as you're listening to this, will be better off with your pain if you allow your pain to drive you to God than if you had a pain-free life that didn't drive you to God.
And eternity, again, is the operative point here, John. I mean, if we picture, you know, life on earth is short, eternity is long, and we hear that, and it still sometimes goes over our head. But if we picture maybe life as a day and eternity as a year, and if we put all of the stock in the day, like, I just want to be comfortable today, but we don't realize whatever we give up, let go of in this day has ramifications that will last for the rest of the year, so to speak, maybe that will help us get a perspective, because our life here is so short, and we have this tendency to think, well, if I can just get rid of the pain, I'm going to be stronger, and that's really what I need. But that's not the case, is it?
That's right, and there's so many analogies of this, right? If you want to have a really good career, at the beginning, you have to work yourself to death, whatever it is that you want to do to become really good at it, whether it's going to medical school or learning a skill. You work really hard, and then it pays off. Childbirth, same kind of thing. It is just excruciating for those hours of childbirth, and then there's the lifelong joy of a child. Planting a field and harvesting it, you know, and in the same way, you know, what's been great for me about my medical condition is it's forced me to actually think in years of life. You know, I'm in my mid-30s now, and it's like, you know, life expectancy in the U.S. is, you know, late 70s, early 80s, so it's like, I have 5 decades on Earth left maximum. Probably a lot of you listening, if you think, you know, take the number 80 and subtract your age, we really don't have that long on Earth. And so it's like, no matter how bad it gets here, it doesn't mean that the pain goes away. But you know that, okay, I've got 30 years left or 20 years left. No matter how bad it is here, after 1,000 years of living without any pain, 1,000 years of living in complete joy, and that's one of the beauties of just reading back through the New Testament about, you know, I still can't believe in Romans 8 when Paul says, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And in this same text, he says, we are co-heirs with Christ. So here's the thing. This is not me saying this. This is the Word of God. You're going to share in Christ's glory. It's not just – I think sometimes we have this idea that in heaven we're going to just be observers, like we're at a movie theater and we're watching God's glory. There will be that part of it. But Romans 8 makes it really clear the glory of God in Christ will be revealed in us. Now, obviously, there's only one true God, and we're not going to be elevated to the status of God. But part of the marvel and just unfathomableness of the cross is we are going to share in the glory of Christ. And so that the ecstasy, the joy, the peace, the fulfillment, we just can't even understand how great it's going to be. But we get these little glimpses of it, and we set our hope on that. You know, Paul says elsewhere, God has delivered us from our present suffering, and on this we set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. And I've learned that, you know, hope is something you can set. And if you don't set it intentionally, then you'll hope in the stock market, or you'll hope for a better diagnosis, or you'll hope for healing. And those are fine hopes, but you can set your hope on something much more eternal and significant.
Boy, John, this has been absolutely amazing. I know you're really deeply, profoundly speaking to our listeners. And I'm wondering, as we wrap up, if you would pray. And I just want to read one more quote from John's book. You write, there's so much more of heaven's strength waiting to enter my life through the delivery door of my weakness. Would you pray for that person who feels all too aware of their weakness and their hardship, and just they need a fresh perspective? And would you pray for that one today?
Yes, Lord, I thank you for calling me to write this book, I Am Strong. I thank you for how I have found your strength in and through my weakness. And Lord, I pray for the men and women listening right now, where there's pain, where there's suffering, where there's sickness, where there's brokenness. Lord, I pray that they would make that most important choice in life to turn toward you with the pain rather than turning away from you. And God, as they turn toward you, I pray that, like the Apostle Paul and like I've experienced, that they would be able to say, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world, and God's power is made perfect in and through my suffering when it's surrendered. Lord, would you work great good from the evil and the brokenness that has paralyzed and broken our lives? We pray it in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you, dear John. I pray you'll come back and talk with us again.
Oh, I'd love that. It's always fun.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to share this conversation with a friend who would be strengthened by it today. You can do that by clicking the share button under the audio link. Take some time to browse our website as well for new articles and content about growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.